Station number 11232, Mr. Ivor Watkins, Reel 1.
Mr. Ivor Watkins, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Watkins?
I was born on the 29th of June, 1898, at Glenravon Cottage, Sketty. Glenravon really is indicating that there was a river running alongside the house. And that river was open to the road, where traffic, horses, carts could ride in one side and out the other. So during my childhood, I had plenty to keep me occupied, something moving, something travelling all the time.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was a manager, really, of a bonded stores, where they kept tobacco, spirits and such like, and released them while he was in charge there in Swansea.
Do you know, what was the name of the store? Do you remember?
I think it was Thomas Ford. I think the name of the street was Fisher Street, Swansea, near the Dockland area anyway. Then he used to walk from Glenravon in Sketty into town every morning, over 2 miles to get into Swansea every morning. There was no other conveyance, no trams, no bus or anything during that particular period.
Yeah. And how many were there in your family?
Four. I was the youngest. My eldest brother, William. Then a sister, Hilda. A sister, Anne. She died now recently. And I was the baby. We came really from farming stock. My great grandparents were farmers really. I go back a bit further. Their father was an Anglican minister. And the two sons, one went to America, the other went farming, and it's from the farming branch that we belong.
What about, was it a comfortable life you had in your childhood?
A wonderful life. We had a huge garden, and we kept pigs as a sort of a hobby for my father. So in the big whitewashed kitchen behind the dining room, there were never less than 3 hams hanging up in calico bags, flitch and a half of bacon. We had our own fowls garden, so we lived very, very well.
Did you have a servant or just
no?
Just
no, we didn't have a servant. We children had to work. I had to work when I come back from school, either feed the pigs or, well, it was a natural course of living. But as for living, we lived very well. There was always plenty of ham and bacon, eggs, vegetables, you name it, and that was it.
What about your school? Which school did you go to?
I went to a church school in Sketty when I was 5.
Which
the
church?
The building is there now, St. Paul's School. It was built in 1853. After Sketty Church was built in 1850 by the Vivian family, the great copper magnates. And the church was built as a memorial to one of the daughters-in-law. Then 3 years after, the school was built. That's where I had my initial education.
What type of an education did you get there? What do you remember?
Well, I'll tell you. It was a church school, and the first lesson we had, obviously, was scripture. I'm talking now when I was about 5 or 6, scripture. After that, then we go through our alphabets, see? Then we go through all the times table. And something I will remember for the rest of my life, after that we had mental arithmetic. 12 buns at 3 pence, 24 buns at a penny, that sort of thing, until we became as sharp as needles. Then we'd go on to geography, history, and so forth.
See? So you'd start every day like that?
Start every day with scripture. Then we go through our alphabet. Well, a couple of years on, we didn't. But then we went on with times table, you see. Then we had mental arithmetic. I will always remember that until we became as sharp as needles. Now, it was a great advantage because we children very often had to go out shopping for our mothers, buying stuff, you see. And we always had the right change coming home.
Were the teachers strict? Or?
Yes, they were strict. I remember the old headmaster at that time, Mr. Chappell, and the song went then, Mr. Chappell is a very nice man, he goes to church on Sunday and prays to God to give him strength to cane the boys on Monday. That was the sing song we had. Yes, it was strict. It was strict, but the teaching was good. Penmanship was a lesson. Dictation was a lesson, which, you know, is gone today somehow.
So, when, what year did you... You started there when you were five, did you?
Five, yes.
And when did you leave?
We moved from the church school to a new school in Carnglass Road in 1909. And it is like moving from, shall we say, a drill hall to heaven. Because in the old school, we had long benches, long tables, and there was no separate classrooms. But in the new school, we had separate classrooms, two to a desk, inkwells, the lid came up to put our books underneath, heating apparatus. It was quite a revelation.
Was the teaching as good, though?
Well, yes, because it had come to a point then where teachers were from either university or college, where in the old school, they had what they called pupil teachers. They'd have a nucleus of about four real teachers, but shall we say, some of the other teachers were what they called pupil teachers, young ladies perhaps of about 18, 19, and things like that, you see. Pupil teachers.
So, the your new school, were you concentrating on anything, or was it still just a broad-based education?
Broad-based at that time. Although there was what they called a scholarship class, when it got up to about standard 5 or 6, those who wanted to go in for a scholarship could go in for a scholarship to go to the higher grade school, as they call it.
Did you try for that?
No, I would not stay in school.
Why was that?
Much to the disgust of my parents, who wanted me to go into the customs. Well, my brother had served an apprenticeship as a carpenter and joiner and gone into the building industry, and I wanted to follow him.
So you wanted to leave at 14, was it?
Yes. Little did I think that when I became at the age of in the 40s, I'd have to go back to college again to learn the rudiments of teaching and lecturing.
So you were at school. What were you, a religious family outside of school, you know?
Yes, quite a lot of relatives around, but one thing in that particular school, absenteeism was a rarity. We had a person by the called at that time a school board man, school board officer, and he was a huge man. He used to drive around in his pony and trap. But he'd call at the school to check on the absenteeism. Mr. Phillips, his name was. And then, if you were absent for a few days, he'd call round to your house, you see. Want to know why? Because at that time, there was a truant school in Swansea. If there was persistent absenteeism, the boy or the child would be sent to the truant school. And there they were, regimented sort of thing.
But you didn't play truant?
Oh, no. I loved school. I must say, I loved school.
What did you like about it?
Well, where the school was situated was in farmland, you see, so it wasn't sort of isolated. When we went out to school, we were looking at fields, cattle, and things like that. I loved school.
I think you misheard me earlier. Were you a religious family? Which church?
Yes, we were religious.
Which church?
The Welsh Congregational Chapel. The reason why is that Sketty really was a Welsh village, not exactly speaking Welsh, but there was a ring of farms around the Sketty, starting such names as Tigwyn, the Cwm, the Brynisaf, Gelly Dewyll, Ysgubar Uchaf, Henry Foelan, Car Glas, Llwyn Mawr, Cwm Gwyn, Ticoch. The farms that were around the village were all Welsh names, so at some time or another in the distant past, Sketty must have been a Welsh village. Must have been. My parents spoke Welsh. I spoke Welsh when I was young, but I'm sorry, my understanding and speaking of Welsh now is limited, unless I was dumped with a Welsh family for about 6 months and it would come back, you see.
So you were in the Welsh Congregational Chapel. Did you attend every Sunday?
Oh yes, three times a day. Sunday morning, Sunday school in the afternoon, and evening service in the night. And then during the weekday, there was what they called the Band of Hope. Total Abstinence, the Band of Hope. And they'd have then what they called the Cwrdd Mawr, or the prayer meeting on Wednesday. We were allowed to go there. And the church really was the centre of the social life of the community. There was something moving there all the time, you see. Right throughout the village, the churches were the centre of the social life in the village.
So your parents were teetotalers as well, were they?
Yes. Although my father dealt with spirits and that, he was practically a teetotaler, but not narrow in any way.
Sketty now is almost part of Swansea.
Yes, it is.
It sounds as if it was very much separate.
It was a village. It was a village. There were two streams running through the village, you see. And one stream marked the parliamentary boundary of the Gower Division and the Sketty and the Swansea political division. The stream running through the village.
Were you a member of any boys' organisation? The Scouts were starting up at Lenin.
No, I didn't. I didn't belong there. No.
How would you amuse yourself for recreation?
Well, we had the river alongside the house. The stream ran under the road. We'd crawled through there. It would amble down through the woods. It would go under the road at another place called Rida Mochin, Pig's Ford, run through a wood, Rida Helig, Willow Ford. So, I mean, there were plenty of opportunities for expeditions, falling in the river, crawling under the road, and these sort of things. And, farmland all around. We were mixed up with the wildlife, the fox, the cuckoo, the owl, the corncrake, we knew them all, really. The bird's eggs. We made our fun. We made kites, which is a rarity today. Every school holiday at summertime, we'd be mooching round the builders for 2 4-foot plaster laths. They were about an inch wide by up to a quarter of an inch thick. That would be one day. The next day, then, we'd be making the frame of the kite, you see. The next day, it'd be pestering mother to make a pot of paste, pasting the paper on. You see, after another day. Another day, they're making the tail of the kite. So, I mean, we were working in groups who had the biggest, who had the best paper, who put the eyes in the right place or the nose, you see. That was creative fun, really. And we'd go down sketty sands, and by the end of the summer, the kite would be more patches than paper itself. That was our enjoyment. Not a penny in a pocket, perhaps a bottle of homemade pop and a sandwich, and that would be it. That was our life.
So very much a country life.
Yes, a country life, yes.
Would you go to Swansea much?
Very rarely, when we were very, very young, although there was a show in the Albert Hall in Swansea called Poole's Meriorama. It was a mixture of comedy pictures showing the Japanese and Russian war in Port Arthur and Vesuvius erupting and that sort of thing. But then my father, out the goodness of his heart, would hire a cab to take us in and a cab to bring us out. So people in the surrounding district thought we were millionaires, but father, that was his enjoyment, is he, for us. And then there would be the Sunday school picnic and that sort of thing.
So what year did you leave school?
I left school when I was 14.
So about 1912?
1912, yes. And then I worked with my brother until I was old enough to serve an apprenticeship. He had his own sort of business, joinery and that sort of thing. And I worked with my brother then, hobbling about. And another thing I enjoyed myself, my uncle who lived opposite had a haulage business with about 7 cart horses. I used to spend a lot of time there and come home stinking of sweet violets, to say the least. But, you know, I enjoyed. Then, when I was 16, I was bound down as an apprentice carpenter and joiner.
With who?
With a firm called W. Alf Marles. W. Alf Marles, M-A-R-L-E-S. Richardson Street, Swansea. For the first year of apprenticeship, I had 2 shillings a week. My father had to pay about 40-odd pounds to bind me down. And then he bought me all the tools I needed.
You had your own set of tools?
Oh, yes, you had to have your own tools.
What tools would make up a kit?
Well, it'd be saws, planes, chisels, hammers, screwdrivers, bradawls and things like that, and gradually you would build up, you see. Perhaps my brother would give me something, perhaps my father would buy me something, you see, until we got, you know, well, not, I didn't have a full kit of tools until after the war, you see.
And what were the terms of your apprenticeship with Miles?
Well, I had to be punctual and not, you know, go out drinking or something like that, behave myself. That sort of thing, you see.
I mean, and what work did they put you on?
Well, mostly in the joiner's shop to start. Then we had outside contracts. You had a contract in the Jewish synagogue in Swansea. There had been a fire there. Had a contract then building a Jewish school in Christina Street, beside other contracts as well, you see.
Did you enjoy the work?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. There's one thing that I realized when you work with wood, you work with something that has lived. When you work at stone, you're working with something dead. But with working on wood, you work with something that is lived. And to me, you get a response. Somehow it's difficult to explain. You get a response. I can't explain it, but that's how I look at it.
So you took to it quite quickly, the skills?
Well, yes, because I had my brother, I had an uncle, a carpenter. My father had 2 brothers as masons. So I thought the building industry was sort of indoctrinated then into you, you see.
And you carried on doing that until the war broke out?
Until the war broke out, yes.
Did you have any idea at all that there was a war coming? during that? I mean, did you follow, read newspapers?
Well, we knew that in 1914 there was the build-up of German armaments, the saber-rattling. I remember the South African War, the men coming home from the South African War. I had an uncle there because there were festivities in the town when the men returned from the South African War. I remember King Edward's coronation. I was four at that time, and I got my coronation mug. It's up on the plate rail there. And I remember the song that was going on in the festivities in the coronation. It was to sing, "Oh, be merry, drink your whiskey, wine and sherry. Oh, be merry on coronation day." It was quite a fate, you know. That was the ditty that was sang there back in 1902.
Was there a lot of singing? I mean, it's a bit of a cliche about the Welsh that they're singing, but were there a lot of singing? Was that part of a sprung part?
Yes, of my grandfather, my father's father, was a huge man in stature and in intellect, and music was one of his bents. And he was what they called the pitcher in the church, in the chapel.
What's that?
In other words, there was no organ in those early days. He would have his tuning fork and he'd pitch the tune, you see, do so me do, things like that, and then he'd give him the tune to start to sing. They wouldn't call it the conductor then, or that sort of thing, or the presenter. They called it the pitcher. He'd pitch the tune, see. That was his bent, but he was a huge man. I tell many a story about my grandfather. He lived with nature. He would only sow a seed with the sowing of the moon.
Sorry? What did that mean, sir?
Well, sow seed as the moon started to grow in the new moon. He'd sow the seeds in his garden. You see? He lived with nature. He could read the clouds. I remember as a young child being called over to his garden, and he was kneeling down by an old hollow poplar tree, and he was talking Welsh at that time. "Dirma, clywch bacan, listen boy, come here." He was on his knee and he was humming in Welsh, "Dewch, dewch, 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 ble, 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 peth, 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 peth." He was saying, "Listen boy," in Welsh, "listen, listen." And he was telling me that the bees were talking to themselves, and surely enough, a day and a half after, the bees swarmed and went away. Strange, but it's true, perfectly true. Terrific man. He lived with nature and he lived with his Bible. And another great incident I remember, my father had always had the holiday Easter in Whitsun. And Grandpa, after he retired, he always get up at the same time in the morning. Then he'd come over to my mother and have a cup of tea, because she'd be making a cup of tea for Father to go to work. It was Easter Sunday morning. We were all hoping now for a quiet day. Bang, 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 bang on the door. And we heard my father opening the window and lowering the window and shouted out, "Poyue," or in English, "Who's there?" And he could hear the boom coming back. "It's me, John." "Well, what on earth are you doing up at this time in the morning, Father?" "My boy, Mary was at the grave before this." No answer to that, was there? We all had to come down and have a cup of tea. Those old people those days, they lived with nature. They lived with their Bible. The Bible and the chapel was the centre of the social life. But I shall always remember those two incidents, the talking of the bees, and that Easter Sunday morning. There are things that stick in your mind that seem crazy to some people, but that always lived with me, how that old man's mind was working now, you see. Yeah.
So, you sort of were aware of a threat of Germany. But
oh yes, the saber rattling. You'd hear people talking, the saber rattling, the big ships being built by this country, the dreadnoughts, and Kaiser Wilhelm, and Victoria, and that sort of thing.
Were you very patriotic? I mean, yourself and people in the... I mean, were you...
Well, it's natural. It is a natural thing to be patriotic. After the Boer War hadn't finished very long, there was the Goodbye Dolly, I Must Leave You, and all that, the patriotic songs, and Tipperary and that sort of thing. It came natural to us. A soldier was... and if he wore a kilt, like one of my uncles did, it was really grand.
Did people, I mean, sometimes regular soldiers had bad reputations. Were they looked up to then in this area?
Well, the odd man, but more often than not, the soldiers that come back from the South African War, they were, sort of thing. It's difficult to explain. We looked up to them. They were heroes. They were wonderful. They'd been abroad. They'd been on the veldt. The Boers were terrible. Kruger and Botha and those places.
So
we'll be merry on Coronation Day, yes.
What do you remember of the actual outbreak of war, the tension immediately before, and then the outbreak on the 4th of August?
Well, I was, I don't know, I must have been wrapped up in one thing or the other, but I can't actually remember the actual thing, but it seemed to break out on us then, really, as youngsters. We became conscious. We were safe at that time, 16 and 17, we were safe at that time. But then once the Kitchener Army came into being, well, that started it, you see.
Do you remember the atmosphere in Sketty and Cardiff? Swansea.
Oh, yes, patriotic.
In August.
Yes, young fellows were rolling up to join. There was the Swansea Battalion, you see. And then there was the Cardiff City Battalion. There was Rhondda Battalion. See, it was the... And various associations formed their own groups. It started to work then, sort of thing, you see.
How did it affect your life? Because you were 16, I think.
Yes, well, my brother was unfit for the army.
Why was that?
Heart trouble. He was unfit for the army, but he went away to work on work of national importance. But I had cousins who joined, a little older than myself. I had cousins that joined. One, he had the military medal, 2 bars in the Belgian Croix de Guerre. But he was as unconcerned as anybody else. He doesn't know why he had it, you see, but there we are.
Did you have any idea as to what the war would be like when it broke out? Did you any sort of image?
Well, he heard all sorts of tales, the thin, you know, the 1418, the rapid fire of that, the British Army held the Germans up for a time, and... The Gulens, we heard of the Gulens and that sort of thing, riding, and the Prussian Guard. Little did I think I'd meet him a little later on. But
did you think it would last long, the war?
No, it was going to be over by Christmas.
Where did that idea come
well,
from?
Well, I don't know where it come from, but a lot of people said, we'd be home by Christmas. I may have been someone... said something or other, I don't know, but that was the saying about, no, what below, don't worry.
Were you excited and pleased but when it broke out, or did you have any idea of, you were religious, how horrible it would be?
No, not then. War wasn't considered horrible. Then it was considered honourable, wasn't it? You know, patriotic. The fervour was there. People didn't think deep enough. Well, it was not the propaganda and not the education about the horrors of war then and there is now, you see.
So you carried on working at Marls?
Yes.
And how did life change during 14, moving into 15?
Well, I don't know. There was certain... We were getting news back. We were getting news back about so-and-so has fallen, so-and-so has gone to the war, so-and-so has been killed, so-and-so has been wounded. You know, that sort of information was coming back. And the big battle of Mons, the retreat, we were getting that sort of thing. And on the cinema, then you'd get the Russian Bear and that sort of thing, the army moving that was, you know, played up Pathé Gazette with Rumpity Tump and that sort of thing, you see. But we were getting the news then through that way.